Let us bow our heads in prayer. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you so much that we now have this opportunity to hear your word. By your Spirit, teach us. Above all, dear Lord, strengthen our faith in Jesus as the one who is our Lord and Savior. Remind us that all of our sins are forgiven, and because of that, you continually bestow your blessings upon us. May we find the peace that passes all human understanding, as you promise us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I said at the beginning of this service, today's message is the gospel lesson for today. And I'm just going to read to you a few verses here. Now, when he saw the crowds, Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, and then we get these kind of words, blessed are you, and then for theirs is. There is no doubt in my mind that these words of our gospel lesson for today, which actually is the very beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, is very familiar to the vast majority of Christians around the world. And what is very interesting also is not only is it, you know, so familiar, but there are really a good majority of Christians who absolutely love these words. And in a way, that's not surprising. These words are the Beatitudes. Beatitude means blessed, blessing. And you know something? That's something I think that we need to hear. I mean, you know, with this life that we live in this world, day in and day out, we see evil around us. We trudge through the evil. It appears as if the devil is roaming around, unleashed. And then there's all the trials and tribulations in our own lives, problems that seem not to get better but worse. And then, finally, there's that spiritual warfare that just seems to go on hour by hour, minute by minute. I want to do good, Lord, but I don't do the good. I don't want to do that evil, Lord, but I do it. And you know, I don't know about you, but boy, we really get weary. We kind of get to the point of, I can't take it anymore. We really get to the point where we're just so frustrated. We become depressed. Yeah, we might even find that depression going into despair. And I think that this is why so many Christians love these words. Because you see, it seems Jesus is promising a blessing. And you know, when we think of blessing, we think of something good. And we want that good. We need that good to lift us up. And so they read these. They think of that blessing. It makes them feel good. One lady said that she had these words memorized. And whenever she really, really felt bad, she just recounted them in her mind. Because then it seemed like that lifted her problems from her. And then she got this kind of, I guess she said, warm, fuzzy, good feeling within her. But now, what I find interesting is this. You may have noticed that I said a good majority of Christians feel this way. Well, if there's a majority, that means there's also a minority. There are Christians out there that do not respond to the Beatitudes in the way that I just described. As a matter of fact, what I think is very interesting is the fact that when they read or hear these Beatitudes, their response is totally opposite of what I described. Instead of loving these Beatitudes, they absolutely hate them. Instead of having these Beatitudes feel good, all they find is a great deal of guilt and despondency and despair. And you know, that leaves you with the question, wait a second here. Why is this? You have one passage and you have two groups of people responding in two different, completely opposite ways. Why? Why? What's going on here? Well, I'm going to say that I believe that these Beatitudes are some of the most misread words of the entire scriptures. And because of that, we may not have an understanding of what's going on here. Think about the Beatitudes, especially you people who are really good in English. Okay? Take a look at how they're actually structured. They actually kind of seem to have this structure of if, then. If you do this, if you are this way, then God will do this or God will do that. Blessings of God seem to depend upon the if. And so when we read these things, we read them as law. And this is where we get into trouble. And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't mean that the good have it over, the ones that think that makes them feel good, they have it right. And the other ones have it wrong, or vice versa. Because I think that it really affects both sides. You know, I have found out there are a good number of Christians who love these Beatitudes, and it makes them feel good because they believe that, in all honesty, they've somehow earned the blessings that Jesus spoke about. Hey, God, I'm a humble person. I'm the example of humility. I can write the book about humility. So therefore then, you should bless me. Hey, God, you know, I was pretty merciful today. I could have, you know, sat and watched the Bills lose, but instead, I saw my neighbor out there, and I went out there and helped her rake leaves. And you know, Lord, I hate that person. I really do. She's a real pain, but I did it. I was merciful. I should be blessed, right? See, they feel good because they think that they have met the demands of what God is speaking about, and therefore they're going to receive these blessings. It is nothing more than work righteousness. They believe that they're earning it. And I'm going to tell you something, sooner or later, because they're reading it as law, the law is going to come back and bite them, because you see, there are these words, be perfect as your heavenly Father. And the Spirit is going to pinch their heart and make them understand they can't earn anything because they're not perfect. Now, does this mean that the other group who absolutely hate these Beatitudes have it right? Oh, no, 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 no. Think again about that if-then structure. There are a lot that use the Beatitudes as a bribe. Hey, God, you know what? Today, I really kept from blowing up. I worked with a bunch of dummies, but I didn't yell at them. I didn't curse at them. I was really nice to them. Therefore, because I did this, now you have to do that. Or, you know, God, I really was merciful. You know, I spent the entire day helping the homeless. And now, you got to be merciful to me. You got to heal my husband or my wife or fix my problems. It's a bribe based upon good works. And I'm going to tell you something else. They end up hating these beatitudes because they find out that the bribe does not work. God cannot be bribed. God cannot be bribed because no one can earn anything from him because there's that law again. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And then, finally, there are those in this group that absolutely hate these beatitudes. That it seems that for their entire lifetime, they have really, really, really tried to do what the Beatitudes say. They have tried to be merciful. They have tried to be meek. They have tried to be peacemakers. They have tried to love their enemy. And they know that they failed over and over and over again. And the law says to them, you can't be blessed. And they are just weighted down with guilt, despondency, despair, and even hopelessness. I'm going to make a confession to you today that for maybe 5 decades, because I can't count when I was an infant and a little child. I didn't know anything then. I don't know anything now, but that's beside the point. I always misread these beatitudes. I misread them because to me, they were law. And I would look at those things and I would say, I have failed at this, 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 and this, and I am condemned. How can I ever receive any blessing from God? And you know, it just so happened, I don't know, maybe 2-3 years ago when we were studying Matthew, and we were studying the Beatitudes, and I stated that one of the members in that Bible class said, well, I don't think that that's the way they're to be looked at. And then he went on, and I can't really quote the way he said it, but basically he said, you know, these words are words of comfort because, you see, they become real for us in Christ. Now, I got to tell you, I mulled those words over for 2-3 weeks. And then, as always, 2 o'clock in the morning, why is it that? 2 o'clock in the morning, that's when it was. I woke up, and the light finally went on. And I said, you know, Morris, you are such a dodo. You think you know the gospel? Friends, these beatitudes are in reality about Jesus Christ. See, think about the Sermon on the Mount. You read that sermon, and it is all law. God, or Jesus, is expressing the law, and he's getting not just into the intent of the law, but into every little crevice of the law. Because you see, there was a problem. He was preaching to people who honestly believed that because they were the children of Abraham, and because they were obeying the law, that they were going to go to heaven. He wanted them to see that they were sinners. And because they were not perfect, they couldn't be the children of God. He wanted them to see that they needed a Savior and that he was that Savior. Friends, we're sinners. We were lost in sin. But why did Christ come? Christ came for the purpose of delivering us from that sin. He came in order that he would keep all of the Beatitudes, that he would keep all of the law, and that even though he was innocent and perfect and should have never died, he took and goes to the cross. He suffers, he is forsaken by God, and he dies in our place. Does it out of love. So that if any of us, by his power, come to faith in him, we're forgiven, and we become righteous in the eyes of God. Think about that. Friends, we are God's children through Jesus Christ. And therefore, every one of these Beatitudes, every one of those blessings are ours right now, right this very minute. Not that we're perfect peacemakers. Not that we always practice mercy. Oh, because we're in Christ now. We're a new creation. And yeah, we want to do his will. And we strive to do his will. But don't we fail? Don't we fail miserably? You bet we do. But in Christ, we are forgiven. And so, even though we fail, that part where we messed up, it's gone. And the Father looks at us and he says, you really are merciful. You really are a peacemaker. Because the sin, the failure is gone. Think about that. In Christ, these Beatitudes are true. Yeah, for each and every one of us. You know, I'd like to end by saying this. I love these Beatitudes now. Boy, I thank God for the person who said what he said in that Bible class. But I got to tell you, I don't like the phrasing that it makes you feel good. I think it's much more than that. It's really, you think about the blessings he gives us. You know what there is? Wow. There's a comfort there. There's a peace that the world will never know. There's a joy there because we are God's people who have a purpose to serve him. And above all, there's a sure and certain hope that we will live forever in the glories of heaven. That, friends, are the Beatitudes. Gotta love them. Amen.